I'll start off by saying that I work for the Iowa Soybean Association as a grow organization, collecting a lot of information. And everyone asks, well, why is someone from Iowa Soybean Association talking about corn and nitrogen? So I'll hit that one first. And the idea is that we found that using a lot of the precision agricultural tools can be very helpful in evaluating one's current management practice and identifying better practices. The idea is that most growers can find at least one thing they do more profitable, and using the tools to evaluate those different options has led a lot of people to improved management, and nitrogen has been one of those topics that we've seen one of the biggest payouts on. So when we talk about a lot of the price, we can talk about a lot of the uncertainties. There's a potential for improvement, but there's also a lot of concern about a lot of the regulatory and the environmental programs. So the simple idea of what we've been able to get a lot of growers to do, and when I say a lot of growers, I think we've now interacted with over 800 different growers over the years that we've worked in Iowa, where we've been able to get them to evaluate their current management practices. So we have kind of a cycle we explain where we start off with people with a plan, they implement their plan, and then they evaluate what they did. And I know earlier Tom Morris said he didn't like this diagram, but I do, so I'm going to keep using it. But the idea is, with the feedback data, can we see if what their plan was, however the recommendation came about, can they do better? So to give you an idea, these are all evaluations in Iowa that we did in 2008. And we had about 500 replicated strip trials where we measure yield comparing different treatments, not all of nitrogen. All the blue dots are different fields where we took aerial imagery and stock nitrates to evaluate whatever they did, how well did they do after the fact? Most growers know exactly how much fertilizer they put out, but they can't tell you how close to they were actually being correct. So when we talk about doing evaluations, how do we get standard information back? And here's an example of a report with what we call strip trials. And this is something the growers can do themselves. So we're now talking about a feedback mechanism that's pretty low cost, and it's tailored on their own farm. So with all the discussions about the, you know, learning, the tailoring to them, things that are of direct interest to them, this is a good example. And you can see in the aerial image, we have some stripes through the field. This is a nitrogen trial. In this case, there's a lot of argument about fall application of anhydrous ammonia in our state. Enough so they've been arguing about it for 20 years, but they haven't put a lot of data on it. So we got a grower to do it. We've had a lot of growers do this. In this case, these are the yield maps we had from the strips. They put out strips with fall nitrogen, fall anhydrous at 150 pounds, spring, pre-plant, anhydrous 150 pounds. We can get the yield map back, but to fine-tune the specific differences in yield, we're talking a few bushel. Just looking at a yield map is not adequate. So if we look at the actual strips in the field, in this case, we can go from west to east. This is each test strip you put through the field, you can see the difference. In this case, there was a 30 bushel difference for this grower, putting out fall anhydrous versus spring pre-plant anhydrous. Okay, now this is one of the more extreme ones for this particular thing. But it can be two different times, it can be two different rates, it can be a lot of different factors, but it's very easy for the grower to put out. So we typically have between 100 and 200 nitrogen trials done in this replicated fashion around the state. Back in 2005, they did an evaluation of the growers that actually did these evaluations for 2 years. Over 80% of them changed what they did. An 80% change in behavior voluntarily. Again, we didn't give recommendations. We just gave them an infrastructure to test what they're doing. So an example of a grower going through these different tests. Here's a grower that in 2001, and we track the same grower each year because everyone says, are you cherry picking? Do you use an example? No, we've used the same data from the same farmer every year. 2001 for trial of corn after soybeans. Comparing 80 to 130 pounds in strips across his field, the average yield difference was only about one bushel. Well, that's one trial, 1 year. 2002, he did the same thing, only compared 70 versus 120 pounds, only had a two bushel difference. So you can see that a grower doing this each year is getting pretty good feedback in what they're doing in their operation. And if you compare how accurate this is to a recommendation, wherever it came from, the co-op, dad, whatever their source, you can get feedback on how well it worked. So the last several years, you can see the grower cut down the rate difference to 25 or 30 pounds. And in general, when he's dropped that rate, the yield was more than the cost of the fertilizer, justifying the rate he's at. So we now have some way of documenting back on how well it worked. Well, not everyone's going to take the time to do the yield checks. So we started working more with the stock nitrate test, where you go in at the end of the season, we take a section of the stock, and based on the concentration left in the stock, we have an idea of how much nitrogen was available. So we started off, just to get buy-in, we did on our strip test. So here you can see an image with the different N rates, two N rates. And what we did is we'd sample 9 points. So we'd sample on the lower treatment and the higher treatment. So we'd have a pair. So we had 9 pairs of the stock nitrate. Of course, everyone asked, well, how does it match up with yield? So if we look at a lot of the trials where we had a 50-pound difference in the nitrogen rate, each dot is one of those sites. So this is over the last 4 years. We have the yield data, and the stock nitrate would be for the lower N rate. So here we can see the stock nitrate concentration. The other axis is how much yield we had by adding the extra 50 pounds. So again, we averaged the 9 pairs together as a site. And so for all the sites that we had a big yield increase, you can see almost all of them fell in the category we call deficient. It gives pretty good confidence, you know, that the test works. So this is real world, field scale, not small plots. So we started having some members in a group doing a test like this to get confirmation that the stock test worked, even though other growers wouldn't necessarily collect the yield data in strips to take the time to do that. One of the things we found is we collected aerial imagery. Where would you take your sample to represent this field? We found that to be a big problem. This is a field that had supposedly a uniform rate applied. One thing we found by going in and evaluating the fields, the variable rate was a lot more common than we thought. They weren't trying to variable rate, but there was a lot of lack of uniformity in these fields. As we go through, a lot of these are patterns that wouldn't even show up on a yield map. But we can get the aerial imagery. But now the aerial imagery is fairly inexpensive, and there's a lot of states where it's actually becoming available for free. So this becomes a helpful tool to look at if we're ground truthing with the other data. So an example of a field that we get, if we just took 4 stock nitrate samples from a field, from a grower, just to evaluate what they did, and the test results came back, that one came back at 210 part per million nitrate in, which we call deficient, 313, which is marginal, and we have a 2800, which would be slightly above optimal, and then a 9800, which is really high. So if we gave that table back to a grower like that, guess what the response would be? Your test doesn't work. Okay. But if we turn around and show it on an image, and we're using GPS to find those points, all of a sudden we start seeing the points that were really low were yellow, and the gradations in color, all of a sudden that data makes a lot more sense. Okay. This is a pretty inexpensive way of getting feedback. And it also shows that, yes, we do have variability in a field that was not intended, even though things were applied uniformly, supposedly. Some of these sources of variation make sense in terms of difference in soil patterns. We can see some colors that are very light versus solid green. And so when we look at where we pick points in the field, everywhere we pick green, we're a little above optimal. When we try and hit those deficient spots, is that color really nitrogen or is it something else? And we found, well, in this case, it was nitrogen related. So each grower would get a report like this for themselves on their field that they know. But we tend to do this in groups. So we have clusters. And one of the things we found is that by sharing the data in the small groups is one of the best way to influence behavior. We have a lot more learning. Magnify it a lot more. And so if we look at statewide what we see in a year for stock nitrates, here's the percentage of all our samples, here's the stock nitrate concentrations. And again, to put it in perspective, Below 250, we consider a pretty good chance we're losing yield. That's in the blue. This would be marginal, so it's lower than what we would expect, where we'd want to be on average. This is optimal and above optimal. So if I ask people ahead of time to say, how many times do you think that we would see a gross excess of fertilizer, people blatantly over-fertilizing? Our farmers feel like they're getting accused of that all the time. In actuality, in hindsight, we can see that we had more times our samples were below optimal than above optimal. We can go a step further and say, okay, that's the state average. How do we do it in a small group? So if we go in a small group, each one of these dots is one field in the group, we can say, how did that group compare to the statewide trend? Well, we had one field in that group that was above optimal, and that was it. But where we really start making progress is when we go into the small groups and we go over the data with them, and as a lot of discussions this morning, we don't go in and lecture and say, here's the answer, here's what happened. We start showing the data like this and say, okay, here's everybody in the group. So each field, each bar is one field, and you have the number on it. This is the stock nitrate concentrations of three of the stock nitrates that we picked to represent the different soil types. How often were we optimal, above optimal, below optimal? But you have the number, so you can say, okay, why is this one so high? Why is that one so low? But if we look at the general trends in there, we can say, okay, how much was the different nitrogen rates a factor in it? So we write down the total amount of nitrogen for each site. So this really low site here had a total of 204 pounds of N. One right beside it, 245. This one that's a lot higher is 172. Okay, well, we can go in and look at each report individually, but we can say, okay, how much are the different factors doing this? This case, this is corn after corn, corn after beans. What about the nitrogen source, the hog manure, UAN, anhydrous ammonia? And we go through this, so they're seeing their data. They'll talk about these patterns they see. Usually there's strip trials in there as well, testing things, where they want to compare anhydrous ammonia to another source. Maybe it's a rate. There's different things. But this is used as a basis to guide where a lot of the testing goes in these groups. So instead of assuming we know the question ahead of time, we spend time trying to get samples from the different management practices that dominate in that area. For a while, we started off and we assumed that we knew that this was the practice we had to change behavior on. The only thing is, when we started doing the survey data in our watersheds, we found out that wasn't the worst practice. We weren't targeting the right ones. And so when you get this data from the growers and they say, okay, why is mine higher than everyone else's, or why is mine lower? Gee, I'm okay, but I use twice as much N to get there. It really shifts the ability for people to understand why. They'll spend the effort to do more trials to get that answer. But one of the questions that came early this morning is, what about the complexity of weather? Well, what better way than to show it year after year in a group? So if we use the same group, in this case from 2002 to 2008, we don't have 2009's data on there yet, but this is the sample breakout for the group. So this is the percentage of samples deficient versus excess. I mean, and this would be marginal, this would be optimal. You can see like 2004 was really a deficient, a lot of deficient samples. 2005 was a much drier year. 2004 was very wet. 2005 was very dry. Half our samples were deficient. We can start putting that in context. How much is the difference in management practices versus how much the difference in weather? How much is the difference in soil types? We can go through and we can see those trends, and obviously, in the wet years, we lose more N. But what they find is those are the years that the management practices have a big impact. Things that you tend to lose more N show up more in those years. So we think there's a lot of benefit in helping at the local level, but at the group level, just having a benchmark of how often are things testing really high, which portions of a state are in a watershed, which practices do we have an efficiency of the fertilizer we have versus what the crop takes out. And it's nice to have that to guide where we put programming, if we're going to provide incentives to change management practices, or just to educate people what the real risks involved in something are. But we can also go in and we can start putting some statistics to it. And this is a newer method for us. And Peter Kriveriga and Tom Morris and others have spent a lot of time on this. We're based on the stock nitrates. Once we get to the point we have hundreds of fields and we have lots of observations for different categories, we can actually talk about what are the difference in the management practices. So by looking at the stock nitrate and the concentrations, especially detecting things that are optimal and higher, we can talk about the odds of one practice testing higher than another. And so we can spend a lot of time explaining all the statistics in this, but basically, if this number that we're showing here is 1, that means two things are considered equal. If it's less than 1, that means it's less likely to test high than whatever you're comparing it to. So if we compare different fertilizer forms, like anhydrous ammonia, to say swine manure, well, 2006, we didn't see a difference. 2007, the swine manure fields were less likely to test high in stock nitrates in the fields with anhydrous ammonia, and so on. So we can put in the different factors, trying to subdivide the different management categories. What behaved differently? So we know which behaved better. So we know where to target, whether it's to do more tests or to do more programming to influence. We can talk about the soils, the excessively drained, the poorly drained, and so on, differences. There's a lot of different things we can do if we can start getting a lot more of this data. So one of the things we found is that publishing a lot of this information is also important as a multiplier effect. We keep the growers' identities anonymous, so except when they're in the small group meetings going over their own data, nobody knows who they are. But it's all available online, so if you actually go onto our website, you can go in and click on and see every single trial on the website. So it's by county, or you can go in and do it by topic. So when you click under the trial results, you can see last year's, you can see this year's, and every Wednesday we update it. So all of the data is up there, but at a county level. And it's up there so you can see it. If it's a replicated trial, you can see each individual observation. So I think it's important that as we collect the data, it's available for others. But I think it's also very important to keep it confidential for the grower's name so that if they're going to go under a microscope, it doesn't come back to haunt them for doing it. They're going to be a lot more likely to participate and get information. So here's an example. If we go into one of our county, you can see the different trial results and you can click on them. But I think probably one of the biggest things is when we start having our group meetings, we have an annual meeting which at first we got maybe 50 people to come to it in a year. Now we're typically in the 500 ballpark range of people that show up to see the results. But our biggest impact isn't the meeting with 500 people that come in to see different topics. It's when we have the small group meetings where we're going over their data and you're hearing what their questions are, what they know, what we can explain why the results are that way. But we talk to them. What did you find out on your farm? What does this do? And one of the things they've arrived at is that the whole point of this is not to get a final answer. It's not something you do it 2 years and you're done. You constantly do it. Some of them joke it means that they're just trying to make new mistakes each year rather than make the same ones over and over. Okay. But we found this to be a very effective way of collecting data, improving behavior, and it's driven based on actual data to evaluate the efficiency of their practices. So with that, I have 2 minutes for questions.
Questions? We have a...
So each farmer do the same practice, and probably some of them do yield, some not. Is that taken into consideration in this trade?
Yeah, the question is there a difference in management practices? And the thing is, absolutely. There is a big difference, and that's why we try and catch all of those different practices in a group, so that we try and contrast one practice to another. So within there, yes, we test. I mean, obviously, something like no-till, for example, versus different degrees of tillage. We find that there is a very different dynamic in the no-till soils than the other soils, you know, for loss. So we go in the groups, we contrast, and we explain that. But because of all those variations, frankly, that's why we moved this way, because we can't do enough small plot studies to answer all those different options.
And only evaluate you, only evaluate other things like insect, microdocs, and other things.
Yes, in general, for nitrogen trials, we do not evaluate a lot of other things. We do the yield, so we get yield response. We have the aerial imagery, which detects the deficiency, and we have stock nitrates, which confirms what the plant had for nitrogen after yield. So I'd say we have three data layers very specifically for that. If we have very specific things for other trials, we'll collect additional data. Yes. Well, we show them exactly where the samples were collected, both for soil types and otherwise. But to be honest, one of the things we're finding is that in a lot of times that's the least of the differences of all the practices. So we have it by soil type, and when we go in the main areas, we pick three of the predominant soils. So we're always picking those as we go across fields so we can compare. But we find that the soil type is not a biggest factor as compared to a lot of the other things. Yeah.
Okay, one more question and then we move to the next speaker.
Can you talk a little more about as you go on with field, how you select where the points
are? Okay, yeah, generally how we try and pick a field is we'll pick 4 points in a field. So we try and pick three of the different soil types. And we use the aerial imagery so we can see that we have good stand, they're not changing hybrids and other things like that. So we're trying to represent the difference in what we think of as a soil variation. And we'll also pick 1 point when we see an area that has a lot of the anomalies, the yellow corn. We'll pick it right in one of those areas so we can confirm is that difference in color really in fact due to nitrogen or something else. And largely it's drought or sometimes disease in there. The 9 points or 9 pairs out of strip trials, and there we pick 3 reps, and out of each rep for the pair, we pick 3 points within the rep, trying to maximize the soil variation within that rep.
Okay, I want to say thanks to Tracy, and then we need to move to the next speaker.